There's John. John Vick's on. Okay. I think we got just about everybody. We may have another person or two. I don't see Representative Shaw. Is Representative Johnny Shaw on yet? Okay. I believe he was planning to attend. So we may have some people jump on and off. And again, do what you need to do with your audio and video to continue participating. We know in this day and time, things don't go as smoothly as we'd like for them to during these kind of meetings. So
if we have to jump off and on, do you have to allow us in, or will we be able to get back in if we jump off and then come back?
I think you could just hit the link again and you should be able to come back on.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
And we are recording this session as well. So for anybody that gets completely knocked off, all is not lost. We will have a recorded version of the meeting. So, okay. Well, welcome everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. My name is Ann Marshall, senior advisor here at TDEC with the Parks and Conservation Bureau. I am now also over all of the planning projects in our bureau, including this lofty endeavor, the State Recreation Plan, as well as many state park planning projects and documents. So thanks to all of you for agreeing to serve on the Recreation Advisory Committee for the 2030 State Recreation Plan, and what some of you are used to hearing as the SCORP, the Statewide Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan. So since 1965, Tennessee has had to do a SCORP or a State Recreation Plan. In that year, the Land and Water Conservation Fund was established and a mandate for each state to develop a set of priorities for federal grants to state and local parks and other recreation projects. So this first meeting of the TRAC, some of you have served on previous TRAC committees in the past as we've developed each of our state recreation plans. We have to do this every 5 years. The first meeting that we're having here today will be more of an informational meeting, kind of an orientation just to get you guys used to the process, more familiar with our charge and what our scope's going to be, role and responsibilities and that kind of thing. And so future meetings, we promise, will be more collaborative. We'll dive right in as we have future meetings and get moving and shaking on all the priorities and trends and really dive into the work that's in front of us. But to kick us off this morning, it is my pleasure to first introduce TDEC Commissioner David Salyers. David was appointed commissioner for the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation by Governor Bill Lee. By birth, he's a native of Kentucky, just north of here. But judging by his life's work, there's no doubt that he loves the volunteer state. By training, experience, and registration, David's a professional geologist and a professional engineer. So his early career was spent as a consulting engineer, but he left the private sector in 1997 and was recruited to serve as the executive director of the West Tennessee River Basin Authority. Based upon his leadership track record, David is known as a results-driven, relationship-oriented executive. He knows that sustainable success at the highest level requires both, and we are certainly lucky here at TDEC to get to experience his leadership style every day. David gets his energy being out in the field with citizens, customers, and our staff. He's traveled the full length of the state from Real Foot Lake to Roan Mountain, visiting with staff and listening to TDEC stakeholders. He's most proud of the fact he was able to personally visit all 56 of our Tennessee state parks during his first year as TDEC commissioner. And he can play a mean game of checkers too. It is said that Governor Lee used the three C's when he was picking his cabinet, looking for people with character, competence, and commitment to serve. Well, he certainly got all three. We got all three with David. So it's my honor to introduce Commissioner David Salyers.
Well, gosh, Ann,
thanks
you so
for being
much.
With us, David.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, well, hey, it is really, really awesome to see everybody. Seeing some folks I haven't seen in a while. So you're looking good. I appreciate it. And also appreciate the chance to just share a few words as the Tennessee Recreation Advisory Committee officially begins its work developing our 10-year comprehensive outdoor recreation plan for Tennessee. And first, I really want to thank everybody for your service as a TRAC member. Each of you was certainly chosen for a reason. And you all bring very important experiences, expertise, and insights that we're going to need to build Tennessee's 2030 state recreation plan. I would just say that this group and its activities are some of the most meaningful and relevant work done by any advisory body in state government. And there's not only a responsibility, but there's a real history of this group driving discussion, a direction and resource allocation for how we ensure Tennessee's terrific outdoor recreational opportunities are strengthened and extended, making the state an even better place to live, work, and play. And second, I want to acknowledge the extraordinary season that we're in. No doubt, this is quite unusual. And COVID-19 and the impact of this worldwide pandemic has made for some unprecedented times. And rather than meeting up with you today on this Zoom conference, I'd much rather be huddled together around some tables or at a state park and going out and hiking after, contemplating what the possibilities for the future of outdoor recreation in Tennessee are. But let me take a minute to flip the script and sort of kind of share why I think this might also be a good time for you to be taking on this critical work. As everybody on the call, I'm sure, is aware, earlier this month, the new Great American Outdoors Act was signed into law by President Trump. Permanently provides $900 million each year for the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And this positive outcome occurred just 1 year after Congress allowed the LWCF program to sunset. And there was real concern about whether it would even continue. But as a result of its passage, a lot of the experts believe that Tennessee is going to be in line to access greater annual LWCF funding for statewide conservation. We'll have more opportunity to conserve, enhance, and showcase some of our beautiful places like Rocky Fork in Upper East Tennessee and John Tully State Forest in West Tennessee. So we went very quickly from the fear of sunset to permanent authorization and dedicated funding. How, you might ask? Well, it definitely took some dedicated leadership in Congress from conservation lions like Senator Alexander, but it was also millions of citizen voices heard from across the nation, including many of you on the call, about the importance of public lands and the benefit to communities from investments in conservation. It really is an underreported story on how citizen voices for conservation and the bipartisan power and appeal of public recreation were able to turn the tide, even in a place as fractured as Washington, D.C. Also know that the pandemic has presented our nation and citizens with incredible challenges, but it has also reminded us about things that matter most. And one of those things is that Tennesseans really value outdoor places and open spaces. The evidence is all around us. We've seen record visitation this summer at our state parks. It has been unbelievable. Our rangers are going to need to take a little time off. But while we're working hard to maintain physical distancing and CDC guidelines, people just keep showing up. Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency has seen a significant increase in the number of hunting and fishing licenses sold in Tennessee, not to mention a huge increase in boat registrations. And if you go to a sporting goods store looking for a canoe or a kayak, yeah, you might not find it because it's just really, really hard to find the outdoor gear in stock. But before the pandemic, most everybody knows this, research has shown that just spending 2 hours a week in nature had a materially beneficial impact on a person's emotional, psychological, as well as their physical health. But our reality in 2020 is that being able to spend time outside is truly recognized as life-sustaining and possibly life-changing. Observers have noted that the COVID has not just fundamentally changed how we experience our altered reality these days, but it's revealed the underlying structures of our world and accelerated certain trends that were already underway. And what we expected to take 5 to 10 years to unfold, and we've seen this here in, in TDEC with a lot of things, are happening sometimes in a matter of months, 5 to 10 months instead of 5 to 10 years. So this accelerated pace is really changing our outlook on what's possible, what should be done, and how we should do it. And that's one of the reasons I think the timing for the work of this track and the development of Tennessee's statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan is vitally important. Our eyes and imagination have been opened over these past 6 months, both in terms of how we listen to one another, how we communicate, and how we understand our world, and how we view the desired future we seek to realize by working together. And I can't think of a more timely moment for this group to take on the challenge of creating a 10-year roadmap for outdoor recreation in Tennessee. And last, I'll close with a favorite saying of Senator Alexander as encouragement and advice for your work on the track. Italy has its art, England has its history, and Egypt has its pyramids. But the United States has the great American outdoors. And Tennessee's portion of our nation's incredible natural heritage is unrivaled. It's our responsibility to not only protect and preserve it, but to plan for the future in a way that makes sure all citizens have access and opportunity to enjoy and celebrate these open spaces, green places, and outdoor recreation so each of us is able to reach our highest potential. And again, just let me express my very sincere gratitude for your service. I trust this will be a rewarding and meaningful endeavor for you as an individual and as working together as a group. And I plan to stay in close contact with Jim and George and others on the track as this important process moves forward and Tennessee's 2030 State Recreation Plan starts to take shape. Thank you again for your service, and it's great to spend some time with you today.
Thank you, Commissioner Salyers. We certainly appreciate you being with us and giving us a terrific kickoff here. Now it is also my pleasure to introduce my boss, TDEC's Deputy Commissioner for Parks and Conservation, Jim Bryson. He became our Deputy Commissioner in May of 2019, so a little over a year ago. His responsibilities leading our Bureau include Tennessee State Parks, and all the internal divisions that are part of state parks, operations and interpretive programming, facilities management, revenue and marketing, hospitality services, the conservation divisions of archaeology and natural areas, a new division of strategic initiatives, and my group, which includes planning and partnerships, the Bureau administrative support, and recreation educational services. Jim has a track record of success in business, state government, and community improvement spanning more than 3 decades. He was founder and president of 2020 Research Inc., a market research, consulting, project management, and technology firm based here in Nashville. Jim demonstrates a thoughtful leadership approach and has created an outstanding employee culture here in our Bureau. He is mission-driven, which I truly believe contributes greatly to all of our success. From guiding the growth of his company to his service as a state senator in the Tennessee General Assembly from 2003 to 2007, Jim has led by example. His smarts, strength, and straightforwardness comes with a true kindness, concern, and care for all people. You know, you meet very few people in your career where you can say they put love in their leading, but I can say that about Jim Bryson. He has a lifelong passion for the natural world, beginning as a young boy growing up in rural Arkansas, living near Lake Dardanelle and Lake Dardanelle State Park. He spent many days and nights in the park, on the lake, or in the woods hiking, camping, hunting, and fishing. His bio is really endless, but you can read it in full on the TDEC website. He's an amazing person. We're all lucky to get to work with him, to have the opportunity to work with him each and every day. So please help me also welcome Jim Bryson to give us a proper kickoff to this recreation planning process. Jim? I think he's muted.
There I am. Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Good. Yeah, so you said I ran a technology firm, but I can't unmute myself, so that should tell you something. No, Ann, thank you for that. That was so incredibly kind and gracious, and it, there was a little bit of it was true, and I'll leave that up to all of you all to figure out which part was true. But it is great to be with you. I've been here at TDEC for about 15, 16 months now, I guess, and so it's good to see faces on here, a few of which I've known for quite a while, and most of which I've met over the last year or so, and you've become colleagues and friends, and it's really been a great opportunity for me to get to know people such as yourselves that have such a tremendous passion for not just the outdoors and recreation, but for preserving and protecting these wonderful spaces that we have for ourselves to enjoy and our kids to enjoy, but really even for literally generations to come so that they can enjoy it and these spaces will not go away. One of the pieces of our State Parks mission statement that I love is the little phrase, the two little words that says in perpetuity. And that makes me feel like, you know, we're doing something special here. When you can do something that lasts, we're doing something incredibly special. And so I want to thank you for your belief that that is something worthwhile and worth spending your time and your life on as I do. And so I want to thank you for that. And thank you for your participation in this. Because, you know, those lands are wonderful, but if people aren't enjoying them, they're just lands, and they have value in and of themselves. But we have these lands for many reasons, but one of the prime reasons is so that people can enjoy them now and for generations to come. And so that's why the outdoor recreation piece, in my mind, is so incredibly important and intertwined to our work in conservation, because we want people... I think Commissioner, I believe, said a minute ago, you know, they're now doing studies, as you all know, that if you spend 2 hours, if people spend 2 hours a week outdoors and in green spaces, they have better mental, physical, and emotional health. And so we need to get people outdoors. And part of this plan that you're going to be working on is going to help us to do that. So I want to thank you for that. I'm so excited about the diverse set of skills and knowledge that have been pulled together. And I want to thank each one of you for being willing to serve on this committee. It's quite a responsibility to begin to plan what our state is going to do in any area, much less an area as big and as comprehensive as outdoor recreation. So I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. You are experts and you have a passion, and you will be able to help to form what happens over the next 10 years. So I thank you for that. I think this is coming at a really, as Commissioner mentioned, really fascinating time and a pivotal time. There are trends going on in our world that our world is just changing, and it's not just COVID. I mean, we all know that COVID or coronavirus has changed outdoors, recreation. Our parks are covered up. So all parks, all outdoors areas are just covered up with people, because people are recognizing that, you know, outdoors is a safe and really exciting and enjoyable place to be again. And so they're getting out, and they're getting out to our parks and loving it. And though, you know, I'm sure we'll always see trends where, you know, up and down on visitors, I think we're going to kind of be up more than we have been in the past. I think we're going to see people, we're getting generations outside that maybe wouldn't have been outside before. And so I think we're getting a lot of people out. So I think COVID has gotten people out, but there's also more. If you're old like me, you remember a book called Megatrends, and it was really talking about, you know, things that were happening in society. And there's a couple of things in society, I think, that are going on right now that are megatrends. There's more than that, but two that I want to just touch on real quickly that I think affect outdoor recreation in pretty significant ways. One is, with the COVID, we've gotten a whole new generation outdoors. And there is no doubt that young people these days think about the outdoors very differently than 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They just think about it differently. They have new attitudes about the outdoors and what that means. They have new practices and new expectations. So we have to think about what are their expectations and what are they trying to do? How are they viewing time and leisure? And if they're going to be working from home, that's going to change the way they think about getting outdoors and what they're doing. And so I think there's a whole generational shift in some ways going on about how people use the outdoors. You know, just as an example, one of the things that we're looking at is we're looking at getting more people to camp that are younger because they don't really want to buy all that equipment. They haven't really camped before, but they don't want to go out and buy $1,000 or $2,000 worth of equipment so they can go spend a night out. So we're looking at how do we partner with some companies to rent them equipment so that they can use it and try it and see if they get out. Well, you know, that would have never happened 30 years ago. That just wasn't part of the mindset. And, you know, now young people, they might not have a car sometimes. Maybe they just rent a car when they need it or something like that. They're renting houses more. There's just a whole new mindset. And those are things that I think will affect how we do outdoor recreation. And then the other one I think is just fascinating for me, and it's is technology. And we don't think about technology and the outdoors really going together, but my gosh, what is the impact GPS has had on outdoor recreation, right? That's technology, and it's because you know, I can download a map now, and I don't even have to be in cell range, and I can track my where I'm going using GPS on my phone because I've got a smartphone with me. And as long as I have battery, and I can have battery because I can have solar power. Well, that's technology too, right? So solar can charge up my battery on my phone. And so I have a smartphone with me no matter anywhere I go because I like to hike. So I can take my smartphone anywhere. And then cell and data access is just getting to be bigger and bigger and greater and greater. And it's becoming more important. We're working on how do we get internet in our parks. This is kind of weird, but does virtual reality impact what we're talking about? That's coming down the pike. I mean, so anyway, I don't want to get, we could sit here and talk all day. Those are types of things I really like. But my point is, I think this is a really valuable time to be doing this because I think we're at an inflection point in history to a degree where a lot of these mega trends are changing our society and changing the way people interface with their environment. And so I'm very excited for the work that you all are going to be doing. There are some questions that we always have to deal with that we'll continue to deal with. And because all of these things come together, like how do we make sure, or how do we improve the economic impact of outdoor recreation, especially in our rural areas and our distressed areas where the biggest industry they have is outdoor recreation. So how do we work with them and partner with them to help them to make it better and easier for people to get out and use those kinds of places? There's funding issues that you all may be thinking about. How do we fund some of these things? How do we fund our parks, our conservation initiatives? And what does our park system look like 10 years from now? And what's its role in resource management versus recreation? There are some questions like that need to be explored. So they're just, we could probably, like I said, we could sit here all day and come up with questions that can be explored, but you all are going to be able to do that. And I'm very excited about that. I want to thank you again for taking the time and having the interest and the real desire to do something really significant that's going to impact the next 10 years, but that it'll be far beyond that because the things that are happening in the next 10 years will lay a foundation for the next 20 years. And so what you're doing today will have impact for literally decades to come. So I want to thank you for that and thank you for your service. And thank you, Ann, for such a great introduction. If you've got that written down, could you send it to me so I can show my wife? She would. I need all the points I can get with her.
Will do. Thank you, Jim. Thanks so much for being here with us. And I will go ahead and get us back on schedule by turning it over to, I guess, Michael's next.
Yeah, thank you, Ann. I'm Michael Shelton with Kimley Horn. And first, before we go into introductions, I just wanted to go over a few housekeeping items. Some virtual engagement, virtual public meeting housekeeping. So Ann mentioned, but please be aware the meeting's being recorded. So for anyone that joined late, we are recording the meeting. And also when folks are speaking and during the presentation, please keep your microphone muted just to minimize any noise and feedback. Also remember that you're on video, so just want to throw that out there. Be aware of your background since this is on video. And then some specifics to Zoom. I don't know how familiar everyone is with Zoom, but a couple of things to note in the top right of your screen, there should be some viewing options. So it might say speaker view or gallery view, but one of the, you know, a nice good way to view in a Zoom meeting is the gallery view. That's kind of easy way to do it. You can see everyone's face. And then also when we're going through the meeting, we would like everyone to use the chat function. So when we're, if you have a question or if you have a comment, to use the chat function instead of speaking out. And during the meeting, I'll be monitoring that. And we'll address questions and comments towards the end of the meeting, unless something else comes up and we need to address it at that time. But if you use the chat function there, that'll work. And then also there's a participants button next to the chat button. Again, these are all on the bottom. But if you click on the participants button, there's a raise hand option. There's a go slower option and a go faster option. So we can use those as well during the meeting. And then lastly, before we do introductions, I just wanted to say, you know, since this is our first track meeting, that if you have any comments or suggestions on the meeting format and how we're running the meeting, please email that to us. And that can be me or Alicia Ely, who you'll meet shortly. And we'll have our contact information posted at the end of the meeting. And that's all I have. So we can go on to the introductions now with George.
Okay, there we go. My name is George Brogdon, and I'm Partas Consultant for West Tennessee, and I'll be a liaison for you during this plan. And so the first thing we're going to do is go through a roll call real quick to see who we have, and then we're going to go and do our introductions. I'll explain that to you in just a minute. And most of you should have been sent a bio sheet this morning, which has some of the bios on it, so it'll help us, and we'll catch up a little bit of time. So if you'll just say present, that'll be great. Senator Brenda Gilmore.
Present. Okay.
Great. Representative Johnny Shaw.
Present.
Thank you.
Present.
Yeah. Melanie Beauchamp.
Present.
Bob Benson.
Present.
Tony Black.
Present.
Simon Bradbury.
Present.
Allison Bullock.
Present.
Kayla Carter.
Present.
Daniel Chukwin.
Chukwin, present.
Chukwin, thank you very much. Carol Coletta.
Present.
Great. Terry Cook. Present. Tate Davis. Okay, Bonnie Gamble.
Present.
Tom Garner. Tom Garner, there you are.
Present.
Clay Gurry.
Yeah, Clay
with us?
Yeah.
All right, we'll mark him off.
He was on earlier. I don't see him now.
Okay, Steve Law.
Present.
Great. Stacy Levine.
Present.
Bridget Massengill.
Present.
Roger McCoy.
Present.
Chris Richardson.
Present.
Mike Robertson.
Present.
Jody Sliger.
Present.
John Vick.
Present.
Okay, and of course we have Alicia Ely, Michael Shelton, Susan Sexnader, are you with us? Susan? Okay, Mark Fly.
Susan's here.
Very good. How about Mark?
I didn't see that he was logged on today.
Okay, thank you, Susan. We have Gerald Parrish. Gerald, are you with us?
I know he's on there. I saw him earlier.
Yeah.
Where he went.
Johnson. How about April? Are you with us?
I'm here as well.
Great. And Hannah Smith?
Present.
She'll be sending many things out. So what we're going to do now, you were sent a small bio, but I'm just going to come through and call your name. And when I'm not enjoying my work at TDEC or working on my farm in Fayette County, for over 30 years, 35 years, I've been a shot clock operator, both for college basketball and the NBA, and I've done NBA finals. So I'm pretty close to timing 24 and are very good at timing 24 seconds and 35 seconds. So if we can keep this to the 35 to 45 second range, since we have so many people to go through, and if you could just kind of tell us, kind of like you sent in on the information, just kind of what your background in leisure is, what your position is, and then I will call the next name and we'll go through the same order that we just went through. We'll omit the commissioner and deputy commissioner since they've done their introductions, and we'll start with Senator Brenda Gilmore.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be a part of this group. My name is Brenda Gilmore. I'm a state senator representing parts of Davidson County. Always had an environmental interest. I especially appreciate the efforts to bring everybody out, but especially young people outdoors, recognizing that Tennessee is one of the sickest states in the country. And that's a way for us to reduce childhood obesity and maybe prevent some of the underlying conditions that we as adults usually take on, such as diabetes, heart disease, and those others. So please let me know what I can do to help this task force be successful.
Thank you, Senator. We'll move to Representative Johnny Shaw.
Thank you, sir. Representative Shaw's incognito today. I've spent about 20 years in the legislature. My background is certainly farming business. Grew up on a farm, and as I said, I love the outdoors when I'm not in the legislature. Spent a lot of time on my farm now. I am interested in making sure that our recreational peace across the state of Tennessee is presentable, and not only presentable, but we do the things to draw folks and more families together to make sure that their lives are complete and whole. I'm glad to be here and looking forward to working with you.
Great. Thank you, Representative. We'll move to Melanie Beauchamp.
Hey there. It's actually Beauchamp, but I answer to Beauchamp. Everything. So
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I have a little more than 20 years of experience in tourism, development, marketing, and communications. And so this is really exciting to me because, you know, as Commissioner Salyer said, Tennessee is rich in natural assets and natural resources. And I think this is just a real opportunity for our communities to preserve and or develop, and not just for the communities, but for the tourists alike. So, and the longer we can get people to come and stay longer and spend more, the more it impacts those communities. So looking forward to working with you guys.
Great. Thank you, Melanie. Bob Benson, we'll move to you in Nashville.
Hey, George, nice to see you. I've got over 20 years experience with parks and recreation here in Nashville. I'm also the current president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association, and I've been working with the NRPA on bringing the conference to Nashville in 2021. If we have conferences in 2021, we have to wait and see about that. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Great. We're looking forward to your last national conference, 1999. Great conference. And yes. So we look forward to that. Brings thousands of people. Tony Black, Jackson, Tennessee.
Hey, how are you doing? How are everyone? I'm so proud to be a part of this. I've been in recreation for 25 years, and I'm the executive director here in Jackson. And I also have the pleasure of serving on the Commissioner's Greenway Trails Advisory Council. I truly enjoy that. This is a great opportunity for us again to have a wonderful plan, and I'm just appreciative to be asked to be a part of this and look forward to working with everyone.
Thank you, Tony. Simon Bradbury, Telco Village Recreation.
Hey, I'm Simon Bradbury. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation in Telco Village. I've been in the recreation profession for about 30 years. I've been in outdoor recreation, municipal, private commercial, and therapeutic, and now I've pretty much got it all together in one spot. I am the past president of TRPA last year. Also a founder and president of 501c3 Park Foundation. This is the second one I started. One of the things I really like about this profession and what we're involved in here is starting a legacy and leaving something, starting something from nothing and leaving a legacy. I'm also a big outdoor fan, kayaking, paddleboard, and I teach self yoga on the side.
Great. Thank you, Simon. Allison Bulwick with the National Park Service.
Hi, thanks a bunch, George. Allison Bullock, I've been with the National Park Service for 20 years now. And before that, I worked for TDEC with Recreation Education Services as a conservation planner and helping to lead the first trails plan for the state of Tennessee. So most of my work revolves around trail development, but I do some conservation work as well and a lot of river-based recreation as well.
Great. Thank you, Allison. Ms. Kayla Carter, Northeast Tennessee Regional Economic Partnership.
Good job. Most people don't get that. yeah, so I'm the Outdoor Development Manager. I'm working with Allison, actually, doing some strategic planning, figuring out how to serve our community and encourage more investments in outdoor recreation. But I'm a 2014 thru-hiker of the Appalachian Trail with a background in journalism, tourism, and now economic development, and served the Appalachian Trail Conservancy as a Next Generation Advisory Council member. So I really, really passionate about stewardship, sustainability, equity, and access for all people into outdoors.
Great, thank you. Daniel Shaquin, Tennessee State Parks.
Hey everybody, thanks for having me. My background is in natural resources, consulting, all the math and science and ecology. I am a user more so than anything, avid trail runner, organized athletics, enjoying the outdoors, kayaking, surfing, whatever it is, it's all fun. And I'm actively working with Bobby Fulcher on opening the Cumberland Trail. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Daniel. Carol Coletta, Memphis River Parks Partnership.
And the partnership is a 501c3 organization that manages 250 acres, 5 miles of riverfront for the city of Memphis and the citizens of Memphis. So it is a public-private partnership that we are engaged in. And we not only manage the property, but we develop the property as well. I came to this work not because I have a background in parks. In fact, I was loaned to this organization by the Kresge Foundation, where I was the senior fellow in the urban section. I come from a background of sort of looking at all the things that make cities successful. And I think parks and outdoor spaces, trails, et cetera, are really pivotal. Have always been pivotal to the development of cities and the livability of cities now more than ever. So again, delighted to have been asked to be part of this, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Carol. Terry Cook, Nature Conservancy.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you, and appreciate being invited like the rest of us that have already spoken. I've been with the Nature Conservancy for over 25 years. And been here in Tennessee for the last 4 years. And this past year, the Conservancy just celebrated 400,000 acres of land protected here and in Tennessee. And many of that acreage went into public ownership, whether it was state parks or with the National Forest Service. And so my background is in conservation and ecology, but I have 14-year-old twins. We spend an awful lot of time visiting our parks and really seeing them through the eyes of a family and how we engage in the outdoors. So it's a real privilege to be part of this planning process.
Thank you. Tate Davis, Doe Mountain Recreation Authority. Mr. Davis? Okay. Bonnie Gamble, City of Manchester, Tennessee.
Hey, George. Glad to be here. I've been a Parks and Recreation Director for 20 years. I worked for 3.5 years as Assistant Director for Educational Services. I see my old friends right on the screen. I'm glad that I have the microphone off because your school children next door to me doing their hybrid learning, just showing that Parks and Recreation has such a vital role in communities, way beyond what we might normally have thought, especially the year. But it's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Thank you, Bonnie. We'll go up way northeast to Pigeon Forge. Tom Garner. Tom, are you with us?
I'm with you, just not technical difficulties.
Okay, we can hear you, so go ahead.
Just barely.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. I can't hear it myself. So, just once, I'm very privileged and honored to be able to serve on this committee. I'm a 17-year park superintendent with City of Pigeon Forge. Strong background in athletics. I'm currently serving with East Tennessee Regional Greenway Committee. I'm an avid greenway pusher, avid kayaker, love to be outside, spending time with my children. So, again, it's just a pleasure to serve on this committee.
Thank you, Tom. Clay Gary, TVA Natural Resources.
Hey, everybody. I think I've met or have worked with most of you guys, but for those of you that I have not, my educational background is in ecology and also in parks and recreation management. Spent several years as a biologist, outdoor guide, and outdoor instructor, and for the last 15 here at TVA, working in the in a variety of capacities for recreation. Some of you may remember, I believe Jerry Faust sat on the last track committee, and retired now. And so this latest position is I took over for Jerry in that role. As the recreation guy for the Valley. So happy to be here, and I like seeing everyone's faces. Thanks.
Thank you. Steve Lall, 10 Green Land Conservancy.
Thanks, George. Like everyone else, it's an honor to be serving on this committee. My background is natural resource management, parks and recreation, and environmental education. I worked in, prior to joining the Land Conservancy work, I worked in the park and recreation field, local government for about 18 and a half years, where I created and ran a division of natural resources, managed 3 nature centers, managed trails, also oversaw our greenways program. So I feel like I've got a pretty good diverse handle on recreation, and also had the privilege and an opportunity to work on some major master planning efforts, including a nature preserve master plan, a greenways master plan, and a comprehensive parks master plan while I was in the park and rec profession. So happy to be on board and looking forward to working with everyone.
Great to have you, Steve. Stacy Levine, Tennessee State Parks, TDEC.
Hey, everyone. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm Stacy Levine. I'm the program administrator for Healthy Parks, Healthy Person. Healthy Parks, Healthy Person is a program through TDEC and Tennessee State Parks and is currently funded by grants from the Tennessee Department of Health. So I work to encourage and reward Tennesseans for getting outdoors. I've been with the program since December. My formal background, I actually have a degree in architecture from the University of Tennessee. So I've spent 15 years designing buildings, and now I encourage people to leave buildings and get outside. So it's really fun. I love my work. My husband and 3 children and I are outdoors all the time. We love to camp and hike and canoe. Actually, we lived in Hawaii for 10 years, and I was an avid outrigger canoe paddler and hiker and surfer. So we love the outdoors, and I'm just really excited to be on this team and to learn from all of them.
Great, Stacy. Thank you. Bridget Massengill, Thrive Regional Partnership.
Hi there. Bridget Massengill, Thrive Regional Partnership. We're a 501c3 nonprofit that is centralized in the Chattanooga region. We cover Southeast Tennessee and Northwest Georgia and Northeast Alabama, but cover that entire range, much of which is due to the assets of our natural treasures and outdoors. I've been with the organization for 8 years under various different names of the organization, but we have a very heavy Natural Treasures Alliance that focuses on conservation and on outdoor recreation across this part of the state, and ultimately for the region. Prior to that, my history has always been in placemaking, whether it be in the downtown redevelopment side or now in the conservation and outdoor recreation piece and how those go hand in hand. Interestingly enough, 20 years ago, Representative Shaw, I do remember you from back then. I was at the legislature doing legislative budget analysis, and one of my departments was TDEC, and so heavily doing a lot of work with TDEC at the time on state parks and those types of things on behalf of the legislature. I will end with saying I'm an East Tennessean through and through, from the northeast part down here to the southeast. My entire life I have spent exploring all of the beautiful mountains of East Tennessee, no matter what part you're in. So I'm honored and privileged to be here today.
Great. Thank you, Bridget. Roger McCoy, our wonderful Director of Natural Areas.
Well, thanks, George. It's great to see everyone, even virtually. Mainly, I oversee the Natural Areas Division, a system of 85 state natural areas, and there's some recreation components there. My background's in botany, and in the Division of Natural Areas, we track rare species statewide. And like everybody here, I'm a big fan of recreating in our outdoors, whether it's the Greenway here in Nashville or some of our large wilderness areas on our national forests. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Roger. Chris Richardson, TWRA.
Thanks, George. Chris Richardson. I'm one of the assistant directors at the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency. I was born and raised across the river from Realfoot Lake in the Boot Hill of Missouri, and came to Tennessee to go to college. Got my undergraduate degree from Lambeth and Jackson. Went on to get my law degree from the University of Memphis, where I met a girl from Tennessee and decided never to leave. So moved back to Middle Tennessee and began practicing law. And someone approached me one day and said, hey, what do you think about getting paid to talk about hunting and fishing, recreational boating for a living? And I jumped at that opportunity because I'm passionate about all three of those things, along with training Labrador retrievers and beagle hounds, and just spending as much time as I can outside. So this opportunity is great. I look forward to working with each and every one of you and highlighting those things that my agency can bring to the table.
Thank you, Chris. Mike Robertson, Tennessee State Parks.
Thanks, George. Yes, I'm Mike Robertson. I'm the Director of Operations for Tennessee State Parks and have been since 2012. I'm a fifth-generation Tennessean and proud to be from Tennessee, originally from the Memphis area, and have been living in the Middle Tennessee area through my career working with state parks. I will be in my 35th year as of December of this year with Tennessee State Parks. And I have served in many roles through my career, starting out as a park attendant, park ranger, park manager, area manager, and now director of operations. Tennessee State Parks is a passion of mine. I've been through the downtimes and I've been through the uptimes, and I'm looking forward to the future and our planning efforts as we set the path going forward. Excited to be here working with each and every one of y'all.
Thank you, Mike. Jody Sliger, Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development.
Hi there, I'm Jody Sliger. I grew up in Cordova, Tennessee, in West Tennessee. Moved to the Upper Cumberland. My background is in tourism, marketing, journalism. I manage the 3-STAR program and developed the Tourism Enhancement Grant with the Department of Tourist Development. It
What I do with 3STAR is connect different sectors of community development and help them understand how they all connect and how they can utilize all the resources that we have in this beautiful state. So I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. John Vick, Office of Primary Prevention, Tennessee Department of Health.
Yeah, hello, everyone. This is John. So as George said, I work in the Tennessee Department of Health in the Office of Primary Prevention. So most of my work there focuses on health and the built environment. So that's things like land use, transportation, housing, and certainly parks. We see parks and green space as public health infrastructure. They're critical for the health of communities, and ensuring that everyone has access to that infrastructure is really important for public health. We see that probably now more than ever during the pandemic. My background is in urban policy, urban planning, and community development. I've worked as an academic researcher, as an applied epidemiologist, and I've been in public health for about 7 years. And like everyone else, really pleased to be here and appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
Well, thank you, John. And then we'll go through quickly our team from TDEC.
Yes. Hey, George, can we go back to Tate? I think he got missed. But
Oh, my bad.
He's on here today. I think you called his name, but I don't know whether he couldn't unmute in time or whatever, and then you moved on to the next person. So, Tate, are you still – there you go.
Doe Mountain Recreation.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I'm the executive director at Doe Mountain, which is up at the tip of northeast Tennessee, close to Virginia and North Carolina. Very happy to be on this board. I've long been interested in conservation, environment, going back more than 30 years, trying to get a lot of take part in this today. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Tate. And before we go to our team, is there anyone that joined our meeting after roll call? Okay, great. We'll go through real quick at our team, and then we're already going to plan. We'll get back on schedule here. So we have a partnership with Kimberly Horn. And so I'm going to start with Alicia Ely.
Thanks, George. Thank you all for serving on this very important committee. I'm Alicia Ely. I'm a landscape architect and the project manager for this project on our side.
Okay, great. And Michael Shelton, who's also with Kimberly Horn.
Hello, everyone. Michael Shelton with Kimberly Horn. I work out of our Memphis office. Landscape architect and planner. Been practicing for about 15 years now and just working closely with Alicia. And our team and the state team on the planning year.
Okay, and partnering with them and us is the Human Dimensions Research Lab from University of Tennessee. We have Susan Sexnader with us today.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here. I'm with the University of Tennessee Human Dimensions Research Lab. I work with Dr. Mark Fly here. We're partnering with Kimberly Horn basically to build data and conduct assessment that will underpin some of the SCORP texts and report.
Great, thank you. And did Dr. Fly, has he joined us or? Okay.
No, he's likely in class today. He has a full day of classes today.
Great. And Anne, I think you've introduced yourself. Did you want to add anything to your introduction?
No, I'm good. I just want to say that I really look forward to working with this dream team we have put together here. I've been fortunate to work with most of you over the years in some capacity, and those that I have not worked with, I certainly look forward to our time together over the next 12 to 14 months. I think we're going to produce the best state recreation plan this state has ever seen. So thanks, guys.
Great. We have Gerald Parrish, Director of Recreation Educational Services for TDEC. Gerald, are you with us?
Yes, I'm sorry. Did I get unmuted then?
You're good.
Yeah. Thank you, George. Appreciate this. I've been in the field for over 45 years, and I've enjoyed it. And I've participated in at least 5 tracks since I've been in the department and since I've been in the field. Also, Chris, I'm a graduate from Lammas, too. So when you said that, it really... it really rattled my brain here. Then you're a dog trainer too, and I've got dogs too, so I'm glad we picked you. We can talk later on, but this is very important. This is our state recreation and comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, and this determines that, like Ann said earlier, this determines our qualifications for getting LWCF. We just have to remember, this is just not for one area of the state. This is for the state across the state, whole state of Tennessee. And so whatever we develop is going to affect everybody in the state of Tennessee. So I'm glad to have a great, diverse group of people. I look forward to working with all of you, and we'll move forward at that. Thank you, George.
Great. April Johnson, Recreation Services Coordinator and our PARTAS Manager for TDEC.
I've been in the recreation field over 20 years, and I'm quickly approaching my 14th year at TDEC. Started out East Tennessee Consultant, now moved to the manager. The last track was going on right after I was hired. So I was thrown into some very quick meetings. So we've done an update since then to that original one. So I'm interested to see how this goes from the beginning versus just on the back end. Glad to see you all.
Great. And we'll be distributing a great deal of information during this process. So you'll see the next name and communicate with her by email, probably mostly. That's Hannah Smith. Hannah?
Hey, guys. I actually grew up in Tennessee State Parks, the child of a park ranger. So I've been inundated in this my entire life. But I've worked in West Tennessee as well as Middle Tennessee for our state parks, and now work for our central office for state parks as well as recreation educational services. So I'm excited to help with this adventure.
Great. And again, I'm George Brogdon. I've been working in parks and city management since 1976. This is a dream job for me because I get to help communities, as we all do in the PARTAS section, communities and counties and nonprofits optimize their leisure opportunities. So it's a great opportunity, and I love doing this. So, as I told you earlier, I'm very conscious about time, and we are running just a bit behind. So, you see the next item is the member roles and responsibilities. Those were sent to you. I'll ask that you look at those. There's going to be several meetings that will be referenced to before our meeting's over today. Look at our roles. You know, we're developing, as Gerald said, a comprehensive plan for the entire state. We have wonderful subject matter experts from every area and part of the state, nonprofits, profits, everything. And so we'll develop a great holistic plan. I love what the last bullet on the information that was sent out to you, provide a framework for Tennessee Office of Outdoor Recreation or similar entity. And so we're doing something that's going to, you know, both include local parks, state parks, just everything. So we appreciate you being here. Take a look at that. And if you have any questions about your role or whatever, we'll talk about timelines and things here in a few minutes. Then feel free to email us at any point. But with that, to get us back on schedule, so now we're only 5 minutes behind, I'm going to introduce again Ann Marshall, who's going to talk about, you heard Gerald say he'd been on 5 SCORE plans. Not sure how many Ann's been on. She's not as old as Gerald. That's right. But she's going to review the 2020 plan for you.
All right. Thank you, George. Let me also say that as we move forward in this process, that we may add some additional track members as we get started and we start formulating our priorities and our goals and kind of the areas we want to focus on. We may realize that we're missing an area and we'll be able to add some additional people if we feel that's needed. But we will also be able to really reach across the state and get more people involved when we do our subcommittees and focus groups. That'll be a big part of how the work gets done as we move forward. So please keep thinking, you know, as we do move forward and we start developing kind of where we're headed, if you see some people or organizations that need to be represented in our efforts, please let us know and we'll find a way to include them. First of all, just a really brief overview of the Tennessee 2020 plan. To give a brief, I guess, definition or explanation, because you'll hear us refer to the Tennessee State Recreation Plan a lot. or Tennessee 2020, and then you'll hear the term SCORP, Statewide Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan. So the SCORP is the original term that was given in the LWCF Act, and a lot of states still refer to it as their SCORP because it only focuses on outdoor recreation. In Tennessee, in the mid-90s, we changed the title of our document to the State Recreation Plan, and have had several different titles for that plan over the years. But the reason we did that was after the early 90s, we got a state program, was approved by the General Assembly, the Local Parks and Recreation Fund. And at that time, we were able to fund local government projects that included indoor recreation, not only outdoor recreation, but we then had a really comprehensive focus with two different funding programs where we could fund indoor recreation, outdoor recreation, land acquisition, trail development, a little bit of everything. And so then our state document name changed. And so from there on out, we've referred to ours as State Recreation Plan. National Park Service requires, however, that we keep an outdoor recreation component to that plan. So when we developed our Tennessee 2020 plan, we were the first state to decide to do a 10-year plan. And the reason we did it, we wanted to be a little bit more ambitious. We wanted to really come up with some issues and strategies that could stretch farther than just a 5-year period. But what National Park Service did is they said, sure, we'll approve a 10-year plan, we'll allow you to do that, but we still want you to put the 5-year SCORP component in your plan. So you still have to have those 5-year goals that target outdoor recreation strategies or, you know, goals and objectives. So this one was probably the most comprehensive one that we have done, the Tennessee 2020 plan. It adopted multi-level strategies. I think it was the first one that was this broad in nature. We had a lot of different issues that we came up with facing parks, recreation, resource conservation. But we basically had 5 primary objectives in mind when we moved forward. I hope many of you have had a chance to review this or at least scan it. But if not, hopefully you'll be able to go back to the website and pull up the digital versions of both of the Tennessee 2020 plan and the 2015 update and kind of read through them. And you'll see that basically, you know, we wanted to, first of all, review the implementation status of 2003. We had to look at our 2003 state recreation plan and determine how we wanted the next plan to build upon 2003 plan, the plan before it. And so each state plan that we do builds upon the one that came before it. So that's part of what this group will be doing too, is looking at, you know, what was accomplished in the 2020 plan. We wanted to identify the high priority issues and trends that would affect, you know, recreation and conservation in Tennessee for the next 10 years. We also wanted to develop an issues-oriented vision that would sort of keep us consistent on the right track for longer than 5 years. Like I said, it would give us that consistent compass for the next 10 years. We wanted to also develop an implementation-oriented action program to move the state toward achieving this vision in 5 years and 10 years. And then to satisfy the SCORP, the National Park Service's SCORP plan priorities, we also had to continue qualifying for the LWCF grant. So that's always the main purpose of why we do this plan. So the executive summary, if you will review the Tennessee 2020 plan and bring that up, the executive summary that's on pages 11 through 16 does give a good overview of the plan's focus. So when we developed our issues and strategies, we ended up forming these 3 main groups. And that's when the title of our document took shape. It's really the first state recreation plan that we had where we actually titled it like a book. And so Tennessee 2020 Parks, People, and Landscapes came to be because we ended up with these 10 strategic initiative areas. And the first 3, advocacy and funding, state parks management, local parks and recreation, those sort of framed the parks chapters or the parks focus, recreation infrastructure, in other words. The next 4 chapters, recreation one-stop, public health, every child outdoors, and environmental education, sort of framed up the people section of that plan, looking at outreach and engagement. And then quality growth, recreational waters, and rural economies then sort of shaped that landscape piece. And those were determined to be more regional perspectives. So as you can see, it was a pretty broadly focused plan, and where we tried to actually go in and identify some short-term and some long-term strategies in order to meet those overarching issues and initiatives. As I mentioned, again, we did have in the 2020 plan these five-year action plans that would satisfy the SCORP requirements through National Park Service, and those were intertwined through each of the chapters. The 2015 update, there is a second document called the 2015 update to the 2020 plan, and that's a separate document which basically just gives a status report on those outdoor recreation initiatives to satisfy the National Park Service requirements. So both of those documents kind of lay the groundwork for what's ahead, you know, of all of us. We have to see where we've been, what we've accomplished, what we haven't accomplished, what has changed since we developed those initiatives. What are the new trends and interests among Tennessee residents? So before our next meeting, you will receive an overview, or it'll be like a compilation document of where we are. It'll show some of those accomplishments that we've met, shortcomings that will kind of help us move forward in establishing what the priorities of the next plan should be. So be looking for that. I know Alicia and Michael and our team will help with putting the agenda together for the next plan that will get us into focusing more on kind of looking at where we've been, what we haven't accomplished, what are the top priorities in the state right now. And I think the next meeting, based on that, we will have we'll have a really good collaborative session on looking at the Tennessee 2020 plan and trying to keep the pieces that worked and the pieces that were really good for that plan. Whether we accomplished it or not, it may be that we need to move to the next level. If we identify funding, now there's some new funding possibilities or some new areas that we need to target. And so I think that'll give us a good basis for that next meeting. I would just add some of the things that you might want to think about the next time before the next meeting. Is reviewing those plans and making a set of questions, you know, making a list of either things that you deal with in your world of parks, recreation, conservation, or making a list of questions that are questions that you feel this state recreation plan should address or this process should address as we move forward. And it can be anything as far as, you know, what does the future of parks and recreation look like in Tennessee? It can be that general, or it can be very specific. You know, how has COVID-19 changed parks and recreation as we look ahead? What will be the same? What will be different as far as the services that we provide and how we provide them? What is the definition of state parks? What is the definition of local parks? What are the partnerships that we need to have or create to make some of our things, some of our strategies and our goals happen? What conservation initiatives will be critical to our state in the next 10 years? So think about overall plan outcomes and what you feel is going to be important as we move forward. Okay. Any questions at this point, or I guess you can put them in the chat box. Is that what we're doing as far as time? If you have questions about any of that, please let me know and we'll get you an answer. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you, Ann. And now we have our almost back on schedule and our overview of the 2030 plan. Alicia with Kimley Horn.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in here, George, and I'll go over this first piece. And I just want, if anyone cannot see a PowerPoint on the screen, that there is one that's being shared, and if you can't see it, we can share this information. But there should be something on the screen where you see it's a PowerPoint slide, and then also I am monitoring that chat box, and it looks like there's no questions or comments at this point. But just briefly, before we get into some of the vision of the new plan and overview of the 2030 plan and kind of the process that we're going to go through, I just wanted to touch on a few of these things. And so you heard some of this previously, Ann has mentioned this, but this is another 10-year plan that includes the 5-year SCORP update. So again, we're going to be developing this 10-year plan, and then it's going to be reviewing where the previous plans are, and we'll assess how that plan needs to be updated and how we need to guide the plan based on what's been accomplished in the previous plans. And a big part of how we move forward is the track and the track meetings. So the idea, and you know, this first meeting is more of an introduction. We, you know, just giving you some basic information, but we're going to really start to take a deep dive, and we anticipate really having participation and guidance from the track as we develop the outline of the plan and as we progress the plan. So the purpose of the track, and for those of you that have been involved in the past, you know, the idea is that you really get involved and help guide the plan, and we want the feedback that you have for this. So, Ann mentioned this too. So is this plan going to be an update of parks, people, and landscapes, which was the 2020 plan, or are we going to have a little bit more of a different focus? So we still need to really assess that at this point. How much of it is an update versus how much of it is a new focus? And we'll get into that. So some of the scope of what we'll be doing, again, the process, I mentioned we're going to have regular dialogue with the track. We're going to form focus committees. So there will be subcommittees that will come out of the track where we, as we start to identify the focus areas for the plan, we'll form committees to do deeper dives into those areas. We will be holding public workshops and meetings. And I mentioned this when I was going over the initial housekeeping stuff, but any ideas that you have about process, especially, you know, in virtual meetings and virtual public engagement, you know, it's a relatively new thing. But if you have ideas and if you have other experiences for ways to do this, we definitely have open ears on process, because it's going to be a little bit different. But that's a big component to the plan, is the public feedback and public engagement. Susan introduced herself with UT earlier, so we are partnering with the University of Tennessee's Human Dimensions Resource Lab, and some of their focus is the Public Recreation User Survey, Public Recreation Inventory Survey, and they're also doing a economic study. Now, that's a separate piece to this plan, but the results of that economic study are going to be used and incorporated into this plan document, so that's also part of the project as well. And so the economic study is related to park management, spending patterns, and things like that. And again, that's going to help inform our plan. Also, trends and barriers analysis. I think Ann might have mentioned this earlier, but we're going to be assessing that and looking at that again, how to affect the plan. And then we're going to take all this information and combine it into the overall plan and the 5-year SCORP. So we also have an overview of a schedule. This was the preliminary schedule that we put together. I know some of this text may be hard to read on the screen, but this does show you in general the overall timeline going into July of 2021. So track meeting one, the third item down, the third and fourth are showing in July. We're a little bit behind schedule on that, but we don't anticipate that affecting the rest of the schedule. So this just shows you some of the milestones that we're going to hit as we go through the process. Again, there's going to be multiple track meetings. We do have some dates set for that, and we'll go over that as well. But the idea is that we would have that completed through July of 2021. And then next up, we were going to get into a little bit more of the vision and initiative. So we can hand that over to George or Alicia.
Thanks, Michael. So Ann hit on it a little bit, and she sent out a great document that I just wanted to spend some time in
before we sort of ask for your all's input towards the end of this meeting today. In talking with the commissioner and assistant commissioner and our team over the past couple of months, it was definitely identified that we want to make sure that this plan has a strong vision, similar to Tennessee's great plans in the past, but definitely an actionable action plan that can be implemented in a very timely manner. You know, there we've all been a part of planning processes that had great ideas and great intent, but for one reason or another, most of the time, those tend to sit on a shelf and you don't see a lot of action because they may be, you know, biting off too much more or too much that you can chew. So we really want this to be an actionable plan and looking for your ideas and how we implement that and make it a successful plan. We had talked about maybe focusing on the top three or five kind of manageable items in this document that can be attained in the next 10 years and really focusing on that. A goal of this document is going to be the state planning process shall focus on kind of these bullets here that you see on the screen. One, we want to identify the role of state parks and the importance of outdoor recreation areas. We've all seen it now with COVID and lots of things being shut down, and Commissioner put out some interesting statistics about all of the, you know, state parks visits have been increased, you know, boat rentals, everything has increased, and we've all seen how important outdoor recreation is in our lives and for the health of all of our residents in Tennessee. And the second one we want to focus on is really providing a vision for the future of state parks as a part of this process is going to be critical in the success. The third one is we want to recommend a strategy on how to expand and how to allocate proper resources to meet this new vision, expanded vision for the state parks, making sure they have plenty of resources, again, to make this an implementable plan. It's going to be important. We also want to propose a vision and a strategy for future consideration that aims at creating a stronger linkage between the state park system and then also those county and local parks to better maximize use and cost efficiencies where we can. Again, I'm sure you all have lots of great ideas and recommendations, and we're excited to hear what those are to better link those. Another focus is going to be proposing a framework for future planning and how we prioritize land conservation in the future to kind of focus and include non-governmental conservation stakeholders and all of those strategic initiatives as well is going to be important for this plan. We also went through, again, there's, I'm sure, a lot of outcomes that you all have been coming up with even in just the short call today, but some of those that we've focused on and identified in our early process was the first one, demonstrating the value of the state's investment in parks and outdoor recreation is going to be important in this plan. We want to, you know, get advice and methods on how to address capital expenditure and how to address the maintenance backlog that I'm sure everyone has in their different areas, and to be more sustainable and maybe predictable in the future if possible. We want to look at how we assess facility development needs throughout the state parks, including new construction at undeveloped locations. I know that was a big part of the previous plan. Wanted to, you know, look at those new locations and how we provide business continuity or enhancements to make the parks operate more efficiently. And a big piece of this is obviously going to be UT's results from the economic study as well, and how we look at that and the impacts on this plan and our recommendations. Another one, a desired outcome, is going to be driving Tennessee's economic prosperity. You know, we've been already working, UT's group and TDEC staff's been on site at a lot of the state parks doing surveys, and we're looking at all of that, how, you know, that impacts social economic growth on the state park system, and then also those communities surrounding the state parks, how that makes an impact and how we identify that moving forward is going to be important. We also want to inspire greater regional identity, differentiation, and collaboration through this process. We want to discover some strategies to share with our partners across the state to maintain and improve our conservation across the state, as well as our heritage and recreational resources is going to be important. A few of you have hit on this yet today, and we know we want to make Tennessee a healthier place, and how does this plan play into that? It's going to be important. I know depending on what statistic or report you read, Tennessee seems to rank towards the bottom of the healthiest, whether it's childhood obesity or other results. We know that we've got a lot of room for growth for making Tennessee a healthier place, and we think this is an important document for that. We want to protect and create opportunities to experience Tennessee's natural, cultural, historic, and prehistoric resources. We want to look at those trends in attendance, what folks are looking at and wanting to visit and wanting to experience, and how we protect those resources. Some of the most popular resources sometimes get overused and can be a detriment to those as well, and we want to prevent that as much as possible. We also want to encourage commitment to stewarding these resources for future generations that our children and their children can continue to enjoy as we are. Another outcome we'd like to see is connecting people and their places as well as each other. Again, through this quarantine process, we're all seeing the value of that, and I think we've got some great ideas to share how we better connect ourselves and our parks. Another outcome is creating that framework for the future planning for the land conservation that we had hit on in one of the earlier goals. Again, being strategic and creating those initiatives for future conservation. Finally, we want to implement an outcomes-driven process and how we do this in outdoor recreation services. Again, we want to be actionable and we want to look at those operational and staffing needs, as well as the role of the state parks, impacts felt by the communities as in residents, and then also look at some best practices and standards as well through this process. So we're very excited for this. Again, these are just some early vision and initiatives. Definitely want to get your all's feedback, and hopefully this will work well. But we've got a tool here. We want to try some polling to get your all's input. Again, these are sort of our initial ideas, but we've put together a list of 10 or so sort of buzzwords that we would love everyone to vote on here. I'm going to launch a poll, and hopefully this will pop up on your screen. But basically, the question is, what are the five most important topics we should cover in this 2030 plan? Again, this is just to start some discussion and to see where these priorities are now with everyone in our group. So I'm going to launch the poll. And hopefully here you're seeing this pop up, and you've got sort of those words: funding, conservation, education, social equity, rural communities, preservation, economic impact, maintenance, health, and communication. Again, this is not all inclusive by any means, but just to get some dialogue started. And so if you'll, in your polling, there we go, we've got some folks voting there. If you can click kind of your top five, and then we'll give everyone a few seconds here to get folks to weigh in. And then we'll look at our results to see, what some of these topics are that are going to come to the top, that are really some of those top priorities during this process.
If for some reason the poll did not pop up on your screen, on the bottom there should be a button that says polls between participants and chat. And if you click that button, it should show.
Looks like we've got about 3/4 of everyone that's voted. Is anyone having any issues seeing the poll? We'll give it a couple more seconds here. Definitely appreciate the quick feedback here. All right, with a 90% turnout rate, I will take it at this point. So I'm gonna end the polling, and then hopefully I'm gonna share the results. And hopefully you can see this screen as well. Economic impact is read there. It's got 72% of the votes, 21 out of 29 folks that voted put that as one of their top fives. We've got what looks to be a tie here between conservation and social equity. So those are sort of the three top ones there, followed by funding, obviously important, health, as I mentioned. Then we've got maintenance, education, and the others here. Obviously very important. There's a vote, at least three votes for all of our topics here. So again, lots of important things to cover in this plan, but this is a great kind of starting point diving in into this process, and definitely appreciate that feedback. Let me see if I can stop.
Do we want to take a few minutes for a Q&A or questions before we wrap up? I don't know if you've gotten any, Michael. It seems I saw a few come in on the chat box.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I was going to bring that up. We did have a couple of comments, questions regarding social equity, and that was one of the higher rated polling items. So a couple of the questions are, how is that going to be addressed? Basically, how is that going to be addressed in the plan? So, you know, things that we've talked about at this point, and I think we should continue talking about how to address that. Is especially how to get people engaged with virtual engagement. That question always comes up. It's kind of a tough thing to do, but exploring for the public engagement piece, exploring various methods of public engagement, how to get information out to people that may not have access to Zoom video or capability of doing that, but you know, if we have meetings and we can have meetings on Zoom or other formats, and we can post that live to Facebook, or we can post those meetings onto YouTube or other platforms where that information can be accessible, where some of those platforms are a little more accessible and easy to navigate and find for folks. That's something we've talked about as far as pushing out information. Having in-person meetings, if and when we can do that, thinking about the locations for those meetings. One of the comments was related to, you know, are we having meetings across the state, or how are we going to do that? I think a lot of that's going to be driven by COVID and what we can really do. But I think we all would agree in-person meetings would be great. And they do need to be varied and in different locations to try to access as many different communities as we can. And as we think about the recreation opportunities in the plan, that we do want to have a real focus on recreation for all, really having access to various communities, to urban communities, to rural communities, to different economic levels, and so on and so forth. So those are some of the things that we've talked about at this point. Again, I think the purpose of this group is to hear more about your thoughts and how we can do better with that. It's obviously important. Based on the polling. So I'd love to hear anyone else's thoughts on it.
I can make a comment.
Absolutely, Senator.
Oh, okay. I think, and I'm glad this is on your mind. I think it is going to be a real challenge communicating, especially for some of the urban residents, particularly, and rural residents who don't have access to broadband, computers, or internet. And so we've got to figure out a creative way to keep them informed about the process so that they know what the availability is. And then once all this information is assessed, I think it's going to take a tremendous amount of responsibility to ensure that that recreational activities are dispersed in a meaningful way in all communities. So that's something I really hope that we strive to do. And then the last thing is, how does this outdoor recreation panel fit in with this group? Is that two different things that's going on?
Ann?
Yep, here we go. I was writing down your first question so that I wouldn't forget it regarding equity in rural communities, but your task force that established the outdoor education and recreation grant program that studied that grant program, we ceased to exist July 1st. There are some folks that were on that task force though that are on this group. Jody Sliger and Chris Richardson from TWRA. And we do have a health representative on here. John Vick is representing the Department of Health, but Leslie Meehan with Department of Health was also on that task force. But our job was complete when we did the report. But we realized that that report may be very vital to the work that this track group does. I hope that we can certainly bring that into the fold as we start looking at some of those issues that the task force addressed through that study or report. Because I think we did spend a lot of time looking at information on equity and how to connect all children and all families with parks and recreation and the outdoors all across the state. And so we've got some good information, I think, that we can use to help develop some real action plans and initiatives that will be included in the state recreation plan. That's one of the reasons, Senator, why we really wanted you involved in this group, because we know that's a passion of yours and that you care about that very deeply. And I think this group will too, when they hear the outcome of that task force work and what we all did, some of the recommendations that we put together for you.
Okay.
So we can certainly share. I think that's one document that this group needs to see, and we will plan on sharing that with everyone as well.
Okay. And then my second question regarding the outdoor recreational panel, how does that fit in with this group? Are you familiar with it?
No, I thought you were, I just addressed that. I thought that's what you were talking about, was your task force that was established last year. You're talking about a different panel?
There's a panel that's coming up on September 8th. Is that what it's regarding?
Oh, I'm sorry. I am not aware of that. I'm not sure what that is.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe somebody else on the committee knows what that is. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. I did want to say one more thing though about the concern about, equity and making sure that we kind of reach across the state. Our plan initially was to move these meetings across the state and meet at different state parks or different local government facilities and make sure that we were kind of moving around across the state with not only the track committee, but also our working groups or our subcommittee groups that we will form. We want to get more people involved that way. I hope we don't have to do them all virtually, but we might have to. We'll just have to see how everything progresses. But the subcommittee work will be based on different topics and different focus areas, different priority areas. And that'll be an opportunity for us to invite additional people to serve on those groups. If we have to go into a specific community in order to get the right people that we need, maybe we could do something jointly where we do a small group in person where we have listening sessions or something like that, so that we're able to really reach those people that we need to reach and hear from those people that we need to hear from. So I'd really like, as we move forward, I would really like everyone's input on that and ideas and suggestions for how we can do that in the best way. Meeting virtually, as Commissioner said at the very beginning, we had planned on being around tables at a state park somewhere, really, being outdoors and being out in nature and kind of moving across the state, being able to have these dynamic meetings, and that's not the way we're able to do it, at least not right now. But we are open to any suggestions that you guys have. If we have to do a direct mail campaign of some sort, I don't know, but I think we should be open to a lot of different suggestions and different methods or how we can get the input that we need in this process.
So there's several just good comments in the chat, I think. So all of these things we don't necessarily have to go through, but we will take all this down and research these things. And then if there's some follow-up items, then we can certainly do that. I'm browsing through some of the comments here.
Hey, Michael, can I say something?
Sure.
So, Senator, in the past SCORP that we did in the 2020 plan, and we had several meetings throughout the state and where we met with local people, and they gave us their comments and things like that. We also did surveys and things of that nature, and we've done some of those already, as far as the surveys and parks and things of that nature. And with this being the way it is and the order that we have from the governor's order and all that, you know, it ties everybody's hands right now. And we're trying to figure out how we can untie our hands and be able to do this. There's nobody on this track committee from my staff or anywhere else that wanted to do this virtually. We wanted to get out in the public and meet and tell people what we're trying to do. We want to make recreation equal for everybody. Our goal, and I'm talking about RES's goal, is to provide recreational opportunities for every citizen of the state of Tennessee. I don't care how old you are, what gender you are, or what race you are, or anybody else. That's our goal, is to provide those opportunities for people to enjoy. Urban, economic distress communities, it really doesn't matter. That's our goal. And to do that, you know, our hands are tied right now because we can't get to a lot of these places that we need to get to right now because of the, as you say, the broadband, computers, and things of that nature. So, if we have to go into the, send that surveys home through schools and stuff like that, we don't mind doing that. But we've got to be, we got to be careful in how we do it to make sure that we meet the governor's mandate in all of this. So that's the thing that has tied our hands is being able to. I know I don't want it, and I know anybody that's sitting on this panel, they don't want it. So we're looking at it from that standpoint, and we do understand where everybody's coming from with this.
Great. Thank you, Gerald. Michael, did you see some more questions you'd like to address there?
I don't think so. Unless I missed something, somebody can speak up. It looks like there's some great comments and suggestions about ways to get information out and some other initiatives that are going on that we should review and research as we're putting the plans together. But again, we're gonna take all these comments down and as we put together our meeting notes and try to address all this stuff as we go through it. And definitely would encourage everyone to reach out separately too if there's additional things you want to talk about with the team.
I also will say we've had great TDEC staff support in creating a website. I know there are issues with, you know, folks not having access, but for right now we do have a website. I'll share it here. And we can also include the address of the website in our meeting minutes as well, if you want to share with folks. But essentially, we'll be posting, if you miss a meeting, we'll be posting them or recording them. And we'll be just keeping folks up to date on this website as well. Let me see. Too many windows open. There we go.
So it's on, it's housed on the TDEC website, but it's for the plan itself. And so again, as we get further into this and have more resources, they'll all be posted on here, but this is an overview of what the process is. We've got an overall schedule for folks that want to participate. It shows, you know, not only the track committee, but also we'll have some public workshops along the way. So those are included in there. And then as we have our track committee meetings, we'll host, we'll put our members here and fill that in, and then post links to the videos of our meetings, as well as the subcommittee meetings, and then our public meetings, as well as our contact information. And then a great section here of the resources. I know we've provided links to the existing plan, but that's also on here as well if you want to go back and read the 2020 plan. And then once UT produces some of their pieces of this process, we'll provide those links here as well. And then some social media links as well that we'll be advertising our meetings and keeping folks updated that way as well. So I wanted to make sure I shared this as one of our tools.
Let me ask a question. So what is our time frame is what? How many months?
We have the schedule going until basically the end of July 2021.
2021, okay. Mm-hmm. So a little bit under a year. Yeah, okay.
Yep, we'll have a draft for NPS to review early spring of next year. And then once they provide their feedback, we'll make revisions, and then it will be out for public comment and then finalized hopefully in July of next year.
Do you want to share those meeting dates again with us?
Yep, I can share that slide now as well. So we've got a couple of our next meetings already scheduled. So we wanted to make sure folks got these on their calendar. And we will send, following this meeting, we'll be sure to make sure we send calendar invites for them. But we've got September 29th, this same time frame, 1 to 3 Central. And then we've got October 27th, again, 1 to 3 Central. And then November 19th, we were trying to stick with the same last Tuesday of the month. However, with Thanksgiving in there, we moved up the November meeting to November 19th from 1 to 3. Again, there'll be subcommittee meetings throughout, you know, these dates as well, but we foresee these being the next three track meeting dates.
We will probably skip December. Mm-hmm. And like Alicia said, try to do some of our work then through the subcommittees. And then we will have some additional meetings after the first of the year in 2021. Let's see if there's anything else. Again, I just want to thank everybody for participating today. I think we're on our way. We have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. You guys will definitely be integral to the success of this entire plan. You will help drive it. I would like to ask if Jim Bryson, our deputy commissioner, is still on, if he has any parting words as we wrap up, or any thoughts or ideas. I want to make sure Jim has an opportunity to speak before we wind up here.
Well, thank you, Ann. Given the fact that I put us behind in the very beginning, I'll keep it short. Everybody for your hard work here. And George, I'm glad you got a 24-second clock for us. I'm sure it will bode well for our meeting going forward. So thanks, everybody, for your hard work that's about to come to make this a reality.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Alicia and Michael. Thanks to all of our staff. And again, thanks to all of you. And as they send out emails with additional dates and Zoom appointments and additional information, please just, you know, reply and let us know how we can help and how we can continue answering your questions or make this process better. So thanks, everybody.
Yes, thank you all.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Okay. So we are officially adjourned and look forward to the next meetings. And again, contact us if you have any questions at all. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Thanks, everybody.
Same here. Thank everybody.